The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter Number 3, Text Number 14, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Hathikari, recorded on January 12th, 2008, in Taveuni, Fiji.
Bhagavatam 1, 3, 40. This Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of God, and it is compiled by Srila Vyasadeva, the incarnation of God. It is meant for the ultimate good of all people, and it is all successful, all blissful, and all perfect. Purported by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, our Savior. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declared that Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless sound representation of all Vedic knowledge and history. There are selected histories of great devotees who are in direct contact with the personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of Lord Sri Krishna and is therefore non-different from him. Srimad Bhagavatam should be worshipped as respectfully as we worship the Lord. Thereby we can derive the ultimate blessings of the Lord through its careful and patient study. As God is all light, all bliss, and all perfection, so also is Srimad Bhagavatam. We can have all the transcendental light of the Supreme Brahman, Sri Krishna, from the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam, provided it is received through the medium of the transparent spiritual master. Lord Chaitanya's private secretary, Srila Sarup Damodar Goswami, advised all intending visitors who came to see the Lord at Puri to make a study of the Bhagavatam from the person Bhagavatam. Person Bhagavatam is the self-realized bona fide spiritual master, and through him only can one understand the lessons of the Bhagavatam in order to receive the desired result. One can derive from the study of the Bhagavatam all the benefits that are possible to be derived from the personal presence of the Lord. It carries with it all the transcendental blessings of Lord Sri Krishna that we can expect from His personal contact. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. So, just imagine how nice it would be if Krishna was personally here. He decided to bless us all with his darsha, you see. And Radharani also came. How amazed we all would be if Krishna was personally here, with his flute, his beautiful threefold bending form, the peacock feather, the yellow dhoti. Just imagine if Krishna came walking in the door right now, you see. what an amazing experience that would be for all of us. We actually got to have direct darshan of Krishna and Radha Rani. Oh, wonderful opportunity. We would be free of all material desires. Every desire we ever had would be automatically fulfilled, you see, just by seeing Krishna. So, that same exact benefit can be achieved simply by the presence of this Srimad Bhagavatam. The same exact potency. There's no difference. Krishna has appeared in the form of the Bhagavatam. All the blessings, all the benefits, all the nectar, all the mercy, all the enlivenment, all the upliftment, all the progress, every possible thing we could derive from Krishna's personal presence is available right here in the form of this Bhagavatam, provided it is received from a self-realized, bona fide spiritual master. So, have we met that condition? Yes. Srila Prabhupada has given us the Srimad Bhagavatam. He is perfectly self-realized. And if we repeat purely exactly what Prabhupada has given us, without any twisting or adulteration, then the full potency is also there in our presentation of the Bhagavatam. Whether you speak Bhagavatam or I speak Bhagavatam, the same potency. If we purely present what Prabhupada has given us, what the bona fide spiritual master has given us, then the full blessings, the full potency, it's there. So why aren't we tasting it at that level? You see, what is the difficulty? Prabhupada used to say, what is the difficulty? Why are we not experiencing? Why is our hair not standing on the end? Why are we not overwhelmed with transcendental ecstasy to hear even one word of the Bhagavatam? It is called the covering cloud of Maya. We are covered by that cloud of Maya. So, how to get rid of this covering cloud? That should be our interest. Therefore, we have the process known as sadhana bhakti. If we regularly chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Japa Mala, at least 16 rounds, you see. If we will follow basic regulatory principles, no illicit sex life, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. In this way, if we will engage our senses in the service of the master of the senses, Rishikesha, Rishikena, Sevanam. You see. If you will engage your senses in the service of the master of the senses, then you will become purified. And the full blessings, the full potency, the full nectar, the full mercy, the full shakti, the everything that's available in the Bhagavatam will be experienced by you to the degree of your surrender. Ye yatamang prapanyante tangs tataiva bhajamya. Inasmuch as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. What is that reward? A little mahaprasadam? Well, that's certainly part of it. But the greatest reward is to actually perceive Krishna. You see, that is the greatest reward. Bhakti pareshanu bhava bhaktir anyatra chai shatraka eka kalaha prapadyama nashriyatasna nashush pushti chushti purusho yo nagasam tushti pushti chudapayo nagasam. You know that slogan? Yes, it's a very wonderful verse. Devotion, direct experience of the Lord, and detachment from all other things occurs simultaneously for one who is seriously engaged in bhakti yoga, just as nourishment, eradication of hunger, and satisfaction occur increasingly with each bite. For one who is engaged in eating, We all enjoy eating, isn't it? Does anybody not enjoy eating? Everybody enjoys eating. All right. So if you can eat, you can also advance in Krishna consciousness. Because it's the same as eating. You have any trouble eating? No trouble eating, yeah. So if you can eat, you can advance in Krishna consciousness. So how do you do that? Well, when you eat, you put the food in the mouth and you chew it. You see. So how do you, what is the eating process to advance? Of course, taking prasadam ordination. But you can't take 24 hours a day. So when you're not taking prasadam, how will you advance in Krishna consciousness? You have to also eat through the ear. Like we take prasadam in the mouth, we take Krishna katha in the ear. Much chitta mad gita prano bodhayanta parasparam katha yantam namajisham tashanta shavramantacha. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me, their lives are fully surrendered unto me, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss by enlightening one another and conversing about me. So if we will take Krishna katha through our ears, and chew it. That means take it deeply. Don't spit it out by letting it go in one ear and out the other. Chew it, digest it, absorb it into your heart by deeply hearing. Then Bhagavatam says three things will be there. Love of God, direct perception of the Lord. That's the one I wanted to focus on. Point I'm making. Actually, you have direct experience of the Lord. Isn't that what we're talking about here? You can actually experience God, not just a theory or an idea, but actually you feel, you're actually experiencing God, the presence of the Lord. You see, that's advancement. If you actually feel the Lord's presence, would you feel any attraction for anything of this material world? What do you say, Ujjas? If one actually feels the presence of the Lord, would one feel any attraction for anything of this material world?
No.
The answer is no. Yeah. One who actually feels the presence of God, anything of this world is inferior to the presence of God. This is his what energy? Inferior energy. If you can get the superior thing, why would you want the inferior thing? Somebody can offer you a nice, something nice, comfortable thing. Would you want the inferior thing? You can get a superior thing. Who wants the inferior thing? So if one actually feels the presence of the Lord, then one would not be attracted to any other thing of this world. Even the most attractive thing of this world, the very, very, very most attractive thing this world would have to offer, would not be attractive if one actually feels the presence of God. This is our philosophy. It wouldn't be attractive. Because you're tasting a pleasure which is thousands of times, millions of times greater. That is the actual position. If I gave you $10, well, that's all right. But if I gave you $10 billion, what is more attractive? You see. If I gave you a cashier's check, a bona fide cashier's check for $10 billion in your right hand and a $10 note in your left hand, which one would you be looking at? The cashier's check was made out to Ujjas Palace, you see. $10 billion, and over here I'll give you a $10 bill on the other hand. What are you going to be looking at? What will you be more attracted to? Even if it was a $100 note. Even if it was a stack of $100 notes. Who cares? $10 billion cashier's check, man. Ujjas Palace. There's no question of being attracted. Even a whole warehouse of money. If you have $10 billion cashier's check. So one who actually feels how Krishna is present, they have no need to try to enjoy anything in this world. Absolutely no need. They are called Atma Ram. They are fully self-satisfied. Because they are feeling the presence of the Lord within their heart. They are feeling the presence of the Lord in the form of their spiritual master. They are feeling the presence of the Lord in the form of the Bhagavatam, in the form of the holy names, in the form of Prasadam, in the form of the deities, etc., etc., etc. In the form of the Kirtan. They are completely self-satisfied because they have contacted Krishna. They feel they are in contact with the Lord. Prabhupada said, I can walk into a whole room full of naked women and not be disturbed. Can we imitate that? We don't dare try. It's not that we think that we're Haridas Thakur, you know. Yes, just send the prostitute to me all alone and I'll preach to her, make her a devotee. No, we don't take any chances like that. Just send me a naked prostitute and I'll make her a devotee. She can dance in front of me all night and I'll make her a devotee. No way. You see, we honestly know our position. We can't imitate these great Mahabhagavats, you see. So how do we get to that position where we can actually feel the presence of the Lord? How do we come to that position? We have to constantly remind ourselves that this is the reality. Constantly. That's why Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. You must regularly study the Bhagavatam and you must be constantly engaged in serving the person Bhagavatam, the spiritual master. By every day reading the Bhagavatam and by constantly acting under the orders received from the spiritual master. By that activity, one becomes gradually purified more and more and more. And as that purification comes, you begin to become more and more satisfied just by Krishna consciousness itself, without any external trappings. You see. As I was quoting, I gave one discourse the other day in the cave, which is now being broadcast on the internet today. Enlightenment by the sea. So, in that discourse, I explain how Krishna is saying, Naprahyashat priyam prapya, no dijat prapya cha priyam. Stirabuddhi rasang mudo brahmavid brahmanistita. One who does not rejoice upon attaining something pleasant, nor lament upon obtaining something unpleasant, who is self controlled, unbewildered, and who knows the science of God is already situated and transcendent. That means it doesn't matter. There's some beautiful, wonderful thing, like a visit to Taviyuni, you see. He doesn't become excited, overwhelmed. Or he may go to some hellish place like, you know, New York City or Calcutta. Horrible, you know. I can remember in Calcutta, oh my God, it was unbelievable. The track we were stuck in one traffic jam, and it was like we were wedged in on all sides, and the bus was blowing this horrible black soot smoke right into the taxi cab. You know, you had no escape. There's no air conditioning. You're having to sit there and breathe all this polluted air right out of the exhaust pipe of the bus. And you can't move. You're just sitting there in a traffic jam, breathing in all this polluted air from the taxi. And then you really know what hell is. But a Krishna conscious person, he's equally disposed. He's transcendentally situated, even in a Calcutta traffic jam, the bus blowing its exhaust pipe into the taxi cab. Whether he's sitting in a beautiful scene overlooking the Pacific, South Pacific, the wonderful fresh air, South Pacific breezes, or he's in a hellish taxi cab in Calcutta. He's equally disposed. He's unbewildered because he's fixed in transcendental knowledge. And then the Bhagavad Gita continues, describe even in more detail this wonderful state of consciousness. Bhayasparsheshva saktatma vindat yatmani yat sukham sa brahma yoga yuktatma shukam akshayam ashnutam. I especially like the last three words. Sukam akshayam ashnute. Ashnute means he enjoys. Sukam is happiness. Akshayam means unlimited. So this verse goes that such a liberated person is always in trance, enjoying the pleasure within. In this way, the enlightened soul tastes unlimited happiness because he always concentrates on the Supreme. So would you like some limited happiness? Or would you like unlimited happiness? The choice is yours. You can go either way. The choice is yours. Do you want limited happiness or unlimited happiness? The way to get limited happiness is to get all excited when your senses get some pleasure. Oh, wow, I'm in heaven, you see. You get all excited and giddy and carried away by the happiness. Then you're setting yourself up for the opposite, the other side of it also. But if you simply think, it is all the mercy of Krishna, whatever is coming. Somehow he's putting me in this situation to encourage me to come closer and closer and closer to him. Whether it's heavenly Tavayuni or it's hellish Calcutta, you see. Both situations are equally the mercy of Krishna to help me come closer and closer and closer to him. If one can see with equal vision, that person can enjoy unlimited happiness. He will always, as Prabhupada said, heaven is nothing for us. We are living in Vaikuntha. Even the amazing, wonderful, heavenly atmosphere of Svarga Loka, that's nothing for us. Even there is anxiety. When sometimes the demons, they conquer the heavenly kingdom, you see. Indra has to give up his post. The demons come and kick Indra out of his boat. So we simply have to come to the transcendental platform. And the Bhagavatam is mercifully manifest here, right now, as we speak. The Bhagavatam is right here. The full potency of Krishna himself is right here, right now, in this room. All we have to do is tune into that potency. And we will enter that state of transcendental consciousness, Krishna consciousness. We simply have to tune in. Tune in and turn on your soul. You see? Right now our soul is turned off. falsely identified with this body. Do you know who you really are? Do you know where you're coming from? Do you know where it is that where you're going? Or what you will become? You're eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. Always remember and celebrate this. You're not of this world, dear friend. Better tune in and turn on yourself. Do you think that body is you? It's just something that you're passing through. It's not you. We're told that everything happens by chance. You see. They say that of the universe there's nobody in control. But every machine has an operator. Therefore, this gigantic machine called the universe, it must also have an operator. This I know. One has to simply use one's intelligence. If every machine has an operator, how this gigantic machine is running without an operator? Just like now the machine, the generator is running to amplify so there's some electricity for the sound system. Did that generator start itself? Who started the generator? Did you start the generator? Yeah. You see? Here's the proof that there is God. Hari Prabhu started the generator. And that's the proof that God exists. Because Hari Prabhu started the generator. You don't have to go very far to find out the existence of God. Just study the activities of Hari Prabhu. And you will understand there is God. This universe, it has operator. That is Krishna. So, I can ask now if there's any questions. Yeah. Yeah, but that's beyond the Bhagavatam itself is Krishna. One devotee back in the time of Lord Chaitanya, he differentiated between Jagannath and Lord Chaitanya. He said that Lord Chaitanya was the moving Krishna and Jagannath was the stationary Krishna. That was completely wrong. Lord Jagannath can move if he wants to. There's another example. Gauridas Pandit. He had deities of Gaur-Nitai in his house. This was during the time of Lord Chaitanya. So they came to his house. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda came to his house. And the deities were also on the altar. So as they were leaving his house, Gauridas Pandit could not bear the impending separation. He said, "My dear Lord, you kindly stay here." He said, "We are, don't you see? We're on the altar." He said, "But no, I want you personally to stay." They said, "Okay." Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they went up and stood on the altar and froze as deities. And the deities came to life and went walking out of the house. And then Gauridas said, "But my dear Lord, please don't leave." He said, "What do you mean? We're on the altar." He said, "But no, but I want you personally to stay, not the deities." He said, "But that is us." And just to convince them again, they went back and did it again. And as they were leaving again, he said, "Can you kindly stay? We are..." So many times he lost track of who was who. Who was the original deity and who was... In this way, you have to understand. There's no difference. If you had the eyes to see, you could see in this Bhagavatam, you could actually see Krishna's... You could see Shyamasundar standing here. You would see there's no difference between this book and Shyamasundar. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena. When your eyes become anointed with the salve of love of Godhead, you will see how this is actually non-different from Krishna. This is Krishna. You will perceive the Supreme Lord standing here and in the book at the same time. You see no difference. You see them as the same.
I was wondering why these different terms are used. Incarnation. Because what means incarnation? Incarnation of God. It's confusing. God himself, incarnation of God. So why
the incarnation is also God himself.
Of course. But then why it's the term is needed?
Well, there's the original form, and there's the other forms that are expanded from him. Also.
But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not called the incarnation of God.
Yeah, that's right. He's not an incarnation. He's Krishna himself. That's right. In the mood of Radharani. When that same Krishna wants to taste the pleasure of being his own devotee, then it's the same Krishna. Krishna taking on the mood and complexion of Radharani. That's Bhagavad Gita. Yeah.
He's not called incarnation because he's taking the form of a devotee and he discovered incarnation. That's why it's incarnation.
When God goes undercover, see. Channa.
So far I can understand, but what I can't understand is that, as it was said in the Purport, literally incarnation.
Well, look in the Sanskrit. Let's look at the Sanskrit. What is the word in the Sanskrit?
In the purport was mentioned.
Let's look at the Sanskrit. What is the Sanskrit word that's translated as incarnation? Bhagavan. The Sanskrit word in the shloka, uttama shloka charitam shakara bhagavan rishi. So that word bhagavan is translated as incarnation of the personality of Godhead. The actual Sanskrit is saying bhagavan, Krishna, supreme lord. Oh, you know what? Yeah, there's six lines in here. Okay, when we chanted the verse, we missed the first two lines because it's split. It's Idam Bhagavatam Nama. This book, known as the Bhagavatam, this book with the name of Bhagavatam. Idam Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Samhitam, which is Puranam Brahma Samhitam. There it's saying Brahma Samhitam means incarnation of Lord Krishna. Yeah, that's right. Idam Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Samhitam. Samhitam is the word used. Different word. That's a different word. It's So incarnation means the Lord has expanded himself as that. There is the original Krishna and there is the expanded form of Krishna. That's incarnation. It's like Nama, the holy name is an incarnation of Krishna. But that original Lord, he can fully manifest in that expansion of him from himself. That's the point. Can fully manifest itself.
Would it mean like that he can accept any form that is
fully manifest? Louder, please.
Any form, literal form.
In any form of any expansion of himself, Krishna can personally manifest himself. If Krishna wanted to, that original form from which everything is emanating could actually be present right here in this book.
But I wasn't asked about the book. I'm asking about Vyasa.
Oh, Vyasadeva. Yeah, he's the literary incarnation. He's the incarnation that produces literature, not literal. Literal is different than literary. He's the literary incarnation because he is empowered for distributing Vedic literature. Does that answer your question sufficiently? We want to answer all of your questions very nicely, so you're fully satisfied with our philosophy.
I think that meditating on it and thinking about it, I'll gradually realize that difference that Vyasadeva is incarnation of God and Bhagavatam is incarnation of God. So it's just theoretically I understand, but I can't realize it.
As you continue chanting and surrendering yourself to Guru and Krishna, then everything will become more and more revealed to you. Actually, Prabhupada told me then. You simply engage yourself 24 hours in full sincerity of attitude, and Krishna will personally come and answer all of your questions. So just by pure bhakti, you can have perfect answers for every single question. Any other questions? Everyone's totally satisfied now, ready to fully surrender themselves to Krishna. Ready to give up the material world once and for all. Enough is enough. From now on, bhakti, nothing but bhakti, pure bhakti. Is everybody ready for that? Make that commitment. Okay. That's it? All right.
Should our ultimate goal be to get back to the spiritual world, or to be a servant of Krishna and serve him in any circumstances?
The latter. Yeah. Going back to God is just a fringe benefit. It's a perk. The real thing is to become fully surrendered. That wherever Krishna wants to live with me, if he wants me to stay in Tavayuni forever and preach, that's all right. If he wants me to stay in Calcutta forever and preach, that's all right. Whatever Krishna wants is all right. Yeah.
In the conditioned soul, should we desire to go back to God?
Should he have that desire? Yes, he should. I remember reading, I haven't been able to find it again, but I've been looking for it in Prabhupada's books. He says the desire to go back to God is a desire in the mode of goodness. You ever read them? I read it somewhere. It's a good desire. No, it's a very good desire. We should go on and want to go back to Godhead. But we have to know what is the technique for being qualified for going back to Godhead. And that is unconditional surrender. Not that, my dear Lord, I will surrender if you will let me go back to Godhead. That's a business deal. A devotee is willing to be surrendered to Krishna. Whether he gets to go back to Godhead or not doesn't matter to him. That's the qualification for going back. One has to know. One has to be detached from going back to Godhead to be qualified to go back. So that's just become attached to being surrendered to Guru and Krishna completely. In whatever position you want me to be in, Guru and Krishna, I will put myself in that position. That is the qualification for going back. Shikshastakam answers everything. The whole philosophy is contained in Shikshastakam. One studies that very carefully. One has a complete understanding of Vaishnava Siddhanta and those eight prayers of Lord Chaitanya. My dear Lord, you can handle me roughly by your embrace or leave me brokenhearted by not being present before me. In any condition, I'm simply your sold out servant. You see, that is Krishna consciousness. So, is that it? Yeah.
In Bhagavatam, a lot of places, Prabhupada says Krishna is the Lord of three worlds.
Yeah.
So what is this three world actually?
Yeah, the three worlds, three lok. In this material world, there are three worlds. There's the lower planets, the middle planets, and the upper planets. That's another three worlds. So generally, the three worlds talks about in this material world, the upper, middle, and lower planetary systems. That's normally what it talks about. When you hear three worlds, normally that's what it is. Some devotees started a travel agency. They called it Three Worlds Travel. But who wants to travel only within the three worlds? We want to go to that transcendental world. That's where we want to travel. Who wants to travel just within the three worlds? We want to travel back to home, back to Godhead. Isn't it? I just said we shouldn't. We should be detached. And now I'm saying we should. So try to understand. Actually, a desire to go back is a very good desire. That will give us the impetus to actually become pure devotees. So we're qualified to go back. But in that mood, we'll be happy to do anything. Actually, somebody just wrote me, they said, actually, there's only, in the spiritual world, I mean, there's only forests and river and flowers and mountains. How boring. I wouldn't want to go back. This is somebody from the UK. They're thinking, well, if there's no London Bridge, you know, there's no river, there's no Big Ben. I don't. Yeah, this is maybe exaggerating a little bit. He's a Krishna conscious person. See, we're so addicted to our big cities and our airplanes and our internet and this and that. You mean there's no internet in Goloka Vrindavan? I can't surf the internet there? I wouldn't want to go back. Sometimes they think that way. But if one actually in that liberated position, whatever desire you have to serve Krishna in a certain way, that's fulfilled, automatically fulfilled, every desire. There's no question of being frustrated in the spiritual world. And if one has a desire to serve in this material world by delivering the fallen conditioned souls, Krishna will certainly fulfill that desire. One wants to preach birth after birth, Krishna will certainly fulfill that desire. But we should be qualified to go back to Godhead. I mean, at least for a visit, you know, it'd be nice. Check it out. At least we should be qualified to go back. Even if we have a desire to stay here and preach lifetime after lifetime, still we should become qualified, you know. At least get our visa, you know. Whatever we want, we can at least go for a visit, you know. So, we'll stop here. Oh, one more point, okay.
What about our karmas?
Karma? Talking about Calcutta?
Yeah.
Oh, how do you relate Calcutta with devotees going through it?
Yeah.
What's the difference? a non-devotee's experience of the suffering condition of this material world and a devotee's experience are entirely different. Because the devotee sees everything in relationship with Krishna. Just imagine you're in a movie theater and you're watching so many different scenes. In one scene you see beautiful Tavayani with the South Pacific breezes. Another scene you see Calcutta with the horrible air pollution coming into your taxi cab. In both cases you're detached. You realize it's on the movie screen. There's a big movie screen called Mahatattva, you see. And you see on the screen these different things are going by on the screen, but your position is different. You're detached from both the Tavayuni and the Calcutta. You see. You're situated in service to Krishna, that's all. That's your happiness. So you're not affected. But someone who is identifying with the body, they're completely affected by the external energy. Does that answer your question? Yes. Someone who is born in Tavayuni, they have very good karma to live in such a heavenly, sublime atmosphere with fruits and flowers and just clean air and open spaces. They have very, very good karma. Someone who is born in a hellish, nightmarish city, they have very bad karma. You see, they're being punished for past sin. Here you're being rewarded for past pious activities. So, what to do with that reward or that punishment? You have to connect everything with Krishna and then you'll be free. If you just enjoy this result of past pious activities, then you're burning off your past pious activities. In your next lifetime, you'll be in Calcutta. You see? So, the key is whatever your position is, offer everything to Krishna. And that way, you'll never lose. You simply go on gaining more and more credits. If you try to enjoy the results of your past pious activities, then you're exhausting them. Therefore, all the results of your past pious activities should be offered to Krishna. Yad karoshi, yad ashnasi, yad jahosi dadasiya. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer, give away, whatever, as well as whatever austerities you may perform. Like traveling all over the world, that's an austerity. Do that as an offering unto me, O son of Kunti. So, if we offer everything to Krishna, then whatever past karma we have, we will not lose it. Whatever past pious activities we have, we will not lose it. And whatever impious activities, they'll be burned off very quickly. You see, very quickly they'll be gone. Does that satisfy you? Okay. Any other questions? All right. right, so this was our last lecture here in Tavayuni. Those of you who have been rendering such nice service, especially Ram, Acharya and his wife took such nice care of us, we're very indebted to you. For many days we were burdening you with our presence. You took such nice care of us, we thank you very much for that. And now you're taking such nice care of us here at your home. Very much appreciate your loving kindness. Jai Ram Prabhu is taking so much trouble driving us here and there, facilitating us, arranging tickets, even coming with us, and sacrificing his own luggage so that we could. We were over the limit. He sacrificed his own quota so that we could bring the necessary items for serving Radha Damodar. So we're very indebted to all of you for your wonderful, loving service. We hope that any offenses we may have committed will be forgiven. It's actually all Prabhupada's mercy, you know, coming down through different channels. It's all the mercy of Prabhupada coming down through different channels. So we'll stop here. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Jai Srimad Sankarshan Dasa Pikari Gurudev Ki Jai.